Strange Brew Podcast, Season 1, Episode 160. The NBA playoffs start on Saturday. The Bucks start on Sunday, 6 o'clock tip time. And by 6:17-ish, we're going to find out if there is, in fact, a switch this team can flip. It does not sound like Giannis is going to play Game 1 or Game 2. And if we're honest with each other, even beyond that seems like a question mark right now. A couple of interesting sound bites from the week as it relates to Giannis's health and when we can maybe expect to see him on the floor. It all starts on Sunday. Bucks are underdogs now, not only for Sunday's game, but in the series, in the 3-6 matchup against the Pacers. We're going to talk NIL, curveball for the Badger basketball program. Late yesterday, Chucky Hepburn left the program. Now, in an era where anybody can go anywhere, it felt like your 3-year starting point guard with a Bucky Badger tattoo on his forearm felt like that guy wasn't going to go anywhere. But he is entering the portal. It's the Wild West. It's a new world in college sports, and we're learning more and more about that as the weeks and months go by. We'll talk about that surprise for Greg Gard and company yesterday. Talk about the Brewers. They salvage one in the 3-game set at home against the Padres. A nice salvage, though, against that offense. Brewers going bullpen game. Got a lot of mileage out of Bryce Wilson on Wednesday. Scored one run, but that was enough. They hit the road for a 7-game trip. They're all in division. As we've talked about, division games now are big in this new scheduling world we live in where you don't play division opponents as much. We'll hit on that. And the draft is less than a week away. Packers make a move on the offensive line, a free agent pickup before the draft. We'll discuss that too. Let's go.
On the ground, a chance here. Durham to Hardy to first. In time! Yes! The Brewers win! Yes!
Here comes Melvin to the 25, to the 20. Gordon 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Record-breaking run.
Morgan, a smash up the middle. Face hit the center.
Snap. He looks, he throws, it's intercepted, and there is your Super Bowl dagger!
Booker the drive, gets inside, leans in, backed away, it's stolen by Holiday! Phoenix has to foul, and a pinnacle ball, throws it down!
Swinging fly ball in the right center, Broxton is there, and they're the champions! They have done it!
Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions.
Before we hop into all of that, I blogged about this, I think, on Tuesday this week. This was an NBA regular season finale game between the Rockets and Clippers. Nothing on the line in this game on Sunday, except for late in the game, free chicken was on the line for the crowd in Los Angeles. The Bucks do this too. If you've ever been to a Bucks game in the last year or so, I think it's Wingstop that does the promotion, where in the fourth quarter, if an opposing team's player misses two straight free throws, everybody gets a certificate for wings at Wingstop. Well, the Bucks aren't the only team that does that. Remember, early in the year, Giannis even took a screenshot of the QR code. Somebody missed two free throws in a row, and Giannis was scrambling for his phone on the sideline so he could get a screenshot of the QR code on the Jumbotron when that went earlier this year for Milwaukee. Well, the Clippers do the same thing, I guess, in Los Angeles, where if somebody misses two consecutive free throws, your opposing team, you get free chicken. And in a game of no consequence, one of the most beloved bench players in the NBA, Boban Marjanovic, Boban, just named by one name, Boban. He's 7'4", Serbian. He's in a lot of TV commercials for a guy that only plays maybe 7 or 8 minutes a game. But people like him. He's got a good personality. He's likable. Well, he was at the free throw line in this Clippers-Rockets game, and he missed the first free throw. And then the crowd starts going crazy. They do the same thing at Fiserv Forum if an opponent misses that first free throw. All right, we're one missed free throw away from free chicken. And he could hear it, and they were chanting something, "We want chicken," and he acknowledged it before his second free throw and missed it on purpose. The whole moment and then the radio call of it is just fantastic.
Eventually, be some free chicken on the board if he misses his second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to anything. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, "You want chicken?
Here's your job."
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. Chicken.
I'm actually going to use that. What we do on B93's morning show on Thursdays, we do free chicken, courtesy of the Northwestern House. I'm going to use this
Here's
clip.
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
That is a man of the people right there, Boban, and everybody in attendance got free chicken. I thought that whole call, I loved everything about it. We had that on the blog on Tuesday. Where do you want to start? Let's start in the NIL because that is the freshest story, I think. Late yesterday, Chucky Hepburn entering the transfer portal, and I guess rumors are that he is going to get a pretty good offer. Rumors right now as of this morning are maybe he's going to end up in Louisville, who had a tough year, but they have a new coach. Maybe that's a place he goes. We did see something in the offing here a couple of days ago, although I don't think I still thought Chucky would leave. One of the offseason storylines with the portal as it connects to the Badgers outside of the AJ Store storyline, which we're going to talk more about here in a minute, is a guy named Frankie Fiddler. It's a real person. He sounds like he's a character in a John Steinbeck novel. But Frankie Fiddler is a guy who played high school basketball with Chucky Hepburn. I think he's at Miami of Ohio or somewhere, Omaha, Nebraska, some mid-major college. And he's been there for 3 years, but he scores. He's a really good scoring guard. He's 6'6", 6'7". And I think this past year for Omaha, Nebraska, he averaged like 20 points a game. How that translates if he goes to a big program in a Power 5 conference, who knows? Max Klesmit's a guy like that who was averaging 16, 17 points a game, I think, at Western Michigan. And then he came to the Badgers, and he's been fine, but he's been more in the 9, 10 point per game range. This is one of the most sought-after people in the transfer portal, though. Well, the hints had been that because he played with Chucky Hepburn in high school and because they're friends, that maybe he was coming to Wisconsin. The feeling was he was coming to Wisconsin. He came out with the final four teams that he was interested in. Wisconsin was on the list. And then he was set to go on an Omaha radio station, I think it was last week, and make his announcement about where he was going to go. And all of a sudden, he canceled it. He canceled the radio appearance. He canceled his decision. And it kind of felt like, ooh, that was a little weird. And now, I think you tie these two things together that perhaps it felt like Chucky maybe got an offer somewhere else and he told Frankie, don't come here, I'm going to be on my way out, or maybe we can find somewhere where we can go together, something like that. But Chucky does go into the transfer portal, and this is just a part of the NIL era, which is ramping up more and more and more. We are in year two, the beginning of year two of NIL, right? I think it's 2 years. Is it 3 years? I think it's year two of the NIL, where players can make money on name, image, and likeness, which has basically become they're getting contracts and signing bonuses and things like that. The spirit of name, image, and likeness was that a player could do an autograph signing and they could make money on it, which they couldn't do before. Or they could get a deal with a local car dealership and get money from them, which they couldn't do before. What this has become is players just accepting money from boosters that don't seem to have any real tangible attachment to any kind of sponsor. So it's already gotten away from the idea, but you kind of figured that was going to happen. But the NIL also ushered in the era of the transfer portal, where there are two transfer portal windows every year for college athletes, and they can go anywhere. Previously, if you wanted to transfer to go somewhere, you had to sit out a year. Like when Sam Hauser left Marquette and he went to Virginia, and Joey Hauser left that same year and went to Michigan State. That was before the NIL transfer portal era. Those guys had to sit out an entire year. And that was a major deterrent for these guys that are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. Those that have NBA prospect visions or things like that. You don't want to waste a year. You don't want to waste a year on the bench or not playing sports or whatever it is. That was a major deterrent. Well, that's gone. Now you can make money on your name, image, and likeness. Schools and boosters can just give you money and somehow loosely tie it to something. And then you can also leave basically every year. Everybody's a free agent right now at the end of every year. And that's the world we're living in. And I didn't think Chucky Hepburn would be the kind of player, given his connections to Wisconsin and how much he speaks about the program, how much he's loved his time here, 3 years starting point guard. Like I said, he's got the Bucky Badger tattoo on his forearm. He just seemed like a Wisconsin guy. But it would appear that somebody out there has offered him more money than the Badgers were willing to offer him. And by the way, I don't begrudge these players at all for cashing in on this. This is the open market, baby. If somebody offers you more money, this is the, where's my show me the money? Here we go.
Show me the money!
This is the era.
Jerry, you better yell, show me the money!
That's it. That's where we're at. And if somebody's willing to offer them more money or a better situation, I don't begrudge. How old is Chuck? He's 21 years old. He's been a legal adult for 3 years. If somebody's offering him a lot of money or AJ Store a lot of money, I don't begrudge these guys for cashing in on that. And Chucky's a guy, AJ Store is probably going to end up in the NBA on some level. If he has a good year now, he's in Kansas. I've heard reports of a seven-figure deal there from Kansas. He is a guy who probably, if he went to the draft, would have been a late, mid to late second round draft pick this year. If he has an outstanding year at a blue blood program like Kansas, he's probably going to end up fringe first round or in the first round. AJ Storr will be in the NBA at some point on some level. Chucky's not. Chucky Hepburn is not an NBA prospect. He's not going to play. If he plays a minute in the NBA, I would be shocked. If you gave me over under a half minute of Chucky Hepburn playing time in the NBA, I would go under. That's not to disparage Chucky Hepburn. He's a really good college basketball player, although his shooting wasn't really that great last year. Somebody would say, it's a loss, but how big of a loss is it really? A guy shot 30% from beyond the arc and got worked by James Madison in the tournament. Some would say that. Not me. Some would say that, though. But he is a guy who doesn't profile as an NBA prospect. He could probably make some money internationally, and there's good money out there internationally between five, six, and sometimes seven figures. Ask Sam Decker. I think he's making a lot of money now playing in London. He's got a multi-million dollar deal. And not just there, but anywhere. I mean, there's a ton of professional leagues in Italy, in Serbia, in all Lithuania. I mean, you could make money playing anywhere. He'll probably stand to make some money in that way, but he's not going to make the big NBA contracts where it's a three-year, $20 million deal or however big the deal could be. So from that aspect, if you're Chucky and you're a lifelong hooper and you want to make money, make basketball money, this might be the only time you're able to do it where somebody's going to offer you $750,000. I don't think Chucky's getting a million, but I have heard or read rumors that Chucky is being offered close to the initial Kansas offer for AJ Storr, which I think was $750,000. This year and next year, I think he has one more year of eligibility after this. Those are the 2 years that Chucky can really cash in and maybe get a big deal. It might be the most money he'll make playing basketball. Now, again, I don't take anything away from Chucky. He's doing what the market is allowing him to do. Would I love if guys like Storr and Chucky would stay and we'd have like a basketball used to be where guys would grow and they'd get better every year within the program and you'd kind of relate to them and get to know them? Yeah, but that's not what we live in now. College sports now in the NIL transfer portal era are just a smaller version of professional sports. And I think at some point there's going to be a balance here. A lot of people are saying on Twitter, and I had people text me this on the B93 morning show this morning too when we were discussing this, that NIL is ruining college athletics and soon to be coming to high school athletics, by the way. The WIAA is voting on that, and NIL for high school athletes is coming soon. I think almost 30 or 31 states already have high school sports NIL rules and regulations, and Wisconsin seems like they are going to be the next to join them. So if you're a high school basketball player that's high profile or a high school football player, you can make money on your name, image, and likeness. The NCAA is going to have to figure out, and we've been over this, some kind of middle ground here because the power has shifted so violently and dramatically toward the players. There has to be some kind of countermeasure. If you are going to treat this like a professional sports league, then I think at some juncture, you are going to have to introduce contracts. We went over this on a podcast. I think it was when AJ Storr left. You're going to have to start to institute for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year deals where you know how long you're going to have a player. Or, and I don't think NIL is even the biggest issue here. I think players should get paid. We all agree on that, correct? With the amount of money that the athletes are bringing into their colleges, hundreds of millions of dollars, and the TV contracts with CBS. You think about the college football TV contracts with CBS and ESPN and the college football playoff contracts. Those players should get that because they're bringing the eyes, they're bringing people to the stands, they're selling jerseys. They should get money. I think the larger issue right now is the transfer portal. They have to find a way to limit the transfer portal. Everybody can't be a free agent two times a year. That's what I think is most frustrating right now if you're the fan of a program, a big college basketball or college football program, where you're seeing guys come and go within 6 months of them getting on campus. I mean, AJ Storr has been in Madison for how long? 10 months? And he's already on his way to another program, his seventh school in 7 years, if you include high school, by the way. My idea would be you give him one freebie. You get one free transfer where in that portal you can enter it. If you haven't used it up, it's like a guy. It's like a Mario guy. Like you're playing Super Nintendo and you've got all the guys. If you lose a life, you get this guy. You have times one. And you can do a free transfer portal, one free transfer portal where you can jump right away. And then any subsequent move into the transfer portal where you're going somewhere else, where if you're AJ Storr, for instance, you went from St. John's to Wisconsin. Okay, that was your one. You played at St. John's last year, you used your one transfer portal token, and now you're at Wisconsin, and now if you want to go to Kansas, you've got to sit out a year. I think that would be helpful, too, and I think you'd see more guys stay if that were the case. Now, another conversation is, why are all these guys leaving? Is it, I had a texter say, Greg Gard fired, question mark, and I've had some talks with my buddies about that too. I don't know how much this is Greg Gard. AJ Store, to me, that's 100% financial. I mean, he has a documented history of trying to get the most money that he can get, which, again, I am fine with. I would say AJ Store's move was 100% financial. If Greg Gard were the coach at Kansas in that world, and Kansas was still offering him the most money, he's going to Kansas. Chucky might be a little more because Chucky's been here for 3 years, and maybe there is some frustration with the way the team has performed in the NCAA tournament that's boiling a bit more for him than it was for AJ Store. But I still think, given the Chucky circumstance, I still think it's like 80-20 money to Greg Gard or money to program or 90-10. So Greg Gard's seat should be hot anyway because of the way the team that he's had has performed and how they haven't been to a Sweet 16 in 2016 or 2017. It's been many years now, 7 or 8 seasons. For those reasons, his seat should be hot. But I don't know how much you can put on him in this era of recruiting, which is relying a lot on money to get the premier players. You're not really selling your program or the campus anymore. You're really selling literal money. I mean, how much money? So I don't know how much of this you can put on Greg Gard. In terms of where the Badgers are financially and maybe not having the money to keep up with some of these different schools, my knowledge of the situation, which as we discussed, one of my good friends that I call college basketball games with, who is a friend of the Godfather, and I trust what he's saying is true. The Badgers, once you get a guy on campus, are competitive with almost anybody in terms of NIL and the amount of money these guys are making. Where the Badgers right now are not competitive or are reluctant to be competitive is what are essentially signing bonuses, which are not legal, by the way. That part of it is not legal. Can you imagine? Did you know that these college administrations and ADs, they're breaking the rules? Even though these players can get paid now and there's transfer portals and all that kind of stuff, they're still breaking the rules. I miss when the premier athletes at your school were getting paid in duffel bags on a front porch and none of us knew what was going on. We knew what was going on, but we didn't know what was going on. Ignorance truly was bliss. I miss that blue chips era of a sack of money or a briefcase of money in a car and nobody knows and the guy walks away and that's how you paid the athletes. From my understanding, this Badger program is extremely competitive with the top programs in the country once they get a guy on campus. But in terms of paying Chucky Hepburn $750,000 just to stay as a signing bonus or paying AJ Store $1 million as a signing bonus, which is not technically within the rules, it seems like maybe that's where they're missing right now and are either going to have to adjust or tailor what their game plan is for recruiting if that's not something they're going to delve into. And there are different rules about different boosters using money for this and that kind of stuff that maybe they're playing a little bit too much within the rules right now. And if they want to stay competitive with these big names, they may have to go outside the rules a little bit. But I don't know how much of this is ultimately on the program or Greg Gard. The school itself is going to have to find a way to navigate their way through this new Wild West era until more regulations come. And they will. There will be contracts or something similar to it at some point, or they'll limit the transfer portal. You can't go on like this. I just don't know that you can go on like this and expect the fan base for college basketball and college football to continue to grow or be as rabid as it's been in the last 20 or 30 years. But Greg Gard, I don't know how much of this you can really lay at Greg Gard's feet. Now, he has a chance if he can get the money and he can convince some players to come in. He's got a lot of holes to fill. John Blackwell is coming up. And I think John Blackwell, if he becomes the starting point guard or a swing guard, I don't know. I don't mind that as a Chucky Hepburn replacement. There's another component to this, and I don't want to say this because I feel like it's a shot at Chucky Hepburn and he's given 3 good years to Wisconsin. There could be a part of this. There could be. That the Badgers heard what Chucky Hepburn was being offered by Louisville or by whatever, Louisville, or whatever school it is. And the Badgers have a budget, even in the NIL era, there's, I'm sure, a budget for a lot of these schools about the money they can give to these athletes. And there's a chance the Badgers saw the money that Chucky was getting and maybe had a chance to match it or get past it and said, you know what, might not be worth that kind of money. As college sports fans, we also have to wrap our minds around college teams making decisions like they're a professional sports team, where if you had a player for the Bucks that was in a contract year and shot 30% from beyond the arc, hypothetically speaking, and had some struggles in the playoffs, maybe they decide not to sign him in the offseason. That could be, I'm not saying it is, but could be something that's happening with a Chucky Hepburn where, okay, we only have X amount of dollars to spend, and if he's getting that kind of offer, can we spend that money elsewhere? I think that's a part of the conversation, too. We have to get used to, as college sports fans, if this is the way it's going to be, we have to get used to the idea that our Badger basketball team and Badger football team, they may make personnel decisions where in the past when a player left the program, you thought, oh God, what's wrong with the program? Why don't they want to be here? Well, it could be a little of both. It could be that the player now found more money or wants to be somewhere else or could get more playing time somewhere else. And it also might be that the program looks at that player and says, they haven't developed the way we thought they would, and we can spend our money elsewhere. That could also be a part of this conversation. And I know for Greg Gard, too, you look at all the guys in the transfer portal. The only two that hurt to me are A.J. Storr and Chucky Hepburn. You know, there's a lot of guys jumping in, which is bad in terms of optics, but some of the names, Ross Candelino, Luke Hartle, Gus Yaldin, I mean, are these guys that were going to get significant playing time going forward? Connor Asijan, maybe. Connor Asijan, ironically, would have had a good chance now this year if he would have stayed. I think he's in Indiana now. With Chucky gone, Connor probably would have gotten some playing time this upcoming year. When you look at all the guys, Isaac Lindsay, that are in the transfer portal, the two that hurt to me are Hepburn and Storr. The rest of them, I'm not sure how much they impact you. I feel like you're going to get Crowell back. Klesman, I don't think, is going anywhere. You've got John Blackwell. This Daniel Freetag, who is a two-sport athletic freak who is choosing to play basketball over football but could have played either and was getting legitimate Division I offers to either side of it. He'll probably play more now, but you do have, if you're Greg Gard now, you've got to find the money and you've got to find the recruiting pitch to fill a lot of these holes. Now you're missing Tyler Wall, you're missing Hepburn, you're missing Storr. Three starters from last year on a tournament team, a team that was a 5 seed and at one point was the number 6 team in the country. It's going to be on him to get the recruiting pitch up and find money. And that's on Chris McIntosh, too. That's on the whole athletic department. But that was a bit of a stunner yesterday, Chucky Hepburn going into the transfer portal. It just, I think as fans now, we just have to wait for some balance, something to change, some regulation to be put in place, because I think a lot of college sports fans feel like this guy right now who's a famous meme.
Bro, I'm straight up not having a good time.
I think that's how people feel.
Bad vibes? Bro, I'm straight up not having a good time.
I think we're losing what college sports used to be, and fans are probably not super pumped about it right now. But at some juncture, it feels like there's going to be more balance to this. I just don't know when. All right, let's move on to the Bucks. Another topic, another really hot, fun topic. Does it feel to Bucks fans out there, have you ever heard of the term pre-grieving, where you think a relationship is probably coming to an end, or you feel like you're going to get fired or something like that, or your job or your career is going to get derailed? You're pre-grieving something. I feel like that's how Bucks fans are operating right now, and I've kind of found myself getting wrapped up in it. As we've been over ad nauseum on this podcast and on the B93 Morning Show, my career, I try to be positive pretty much all the time, annoyingly so, some would say. I always try to see the glasses half full, or they could do this, or they can get this guy going, and they have a chance still. It's really hard. You got to dig really deep right now if you're a Bucks fan to convince yourself that things are going to go their way in this playoff run. It's just the vibes couldn't be worse. And it does feel like there is pre-grieving happening where we're already having discussions. If you listen to sports radio, if you listen to Bucks podcasts, we even talked about it a week or two ago. We're already having discussions about what do they do in the offseason. Do they stick with Doc Rivers? Are they going to pay a fourth head coach to come in? Could they bring Terry Stotts back? Who's on the trade block if they're out in the first round? Could Dame be traded? Is Giannis going to want to be here anymore? Is he going to demand a trade? It feels like we're having a lot of off-season conversations already, but that's the way this team has played during the regular season. They have not been inspiring, and with all of the injuries right now and the history this season against the Pacers, and now the betting odds have shifted too, where the Bucks are now literally the series underdogs for this game, for this series, and for Sunday, specifically before the series now, the Pacers are the favorites to win it. It just feels like a lot of Bucks fans, 60%, 65%, 70% of the fan base, are already moving on to the questions of the offseason. Where did this all go wrong? Was it the firing of Bud? Obviously, Adrian Griffin was a misfire as a first-year head coach hire. Should they have traded for Dame? We're already relitigating all of the things that happened this year and looking toward this upcoming offseason saying, who's on the block? Can you find somebody to trade with Brook Lopez? Can you get younger and trade Brook and trade Chris? Or is Dame on the trade block? We're already on to that, and we haven't even played a minute in the playoffs yet. But it is difficult to find any kind of optimism. This team needs some kind of motivational speaker, I think, before they come in. I've got just the guy. I think this is the guy right here to get them revved up before Sunday's tip time.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're gonna end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
I believe in a little Matt Foley. Maybe Matt Foley will get this team going. I saw Malik Beasley after the Bucks lost their 4th out of 5 games against the Pacers this year. Malik Beasley was doing a post-game presser, and he said, if we see this team in the playoffs, it's not going to be pretty for them. And then somebody brought that back up to Malik Beasley this week after practice, and it was the least enthusiastic rehashing of that where he said, I stand by that, but it didn't sound like he believed it at all. I stand by that. I stand by it's going to be ugly for them. And then I think he even said, if it goes the other way here, I can even find it for you. This is not a lot of conviction in the way Malik Beasley was talking about his guarantee from earlier in the year.
It ended up happening. I could have said a different thing, and that could have happened. But, they say I manifested it. But, like I said, the first thing I said was it's not going to be pretty for them. I still stand by that. Kudos to them if, things are different. But I don't see that happening. I see us coming out with energy, coming out with defense, and, stopping the other team.
Not exactly a William Wallace speech there from Malik Beasley. I stand by it. Yeah, it's difficult to figure out how they're going to be able to do this. Even for most of the year, even before the last week and a half, where they were losing to G League teams and then the lackluster performance in Orlando and then the Giannis injury and finding out that he's definitely not playing game one. Here is some audio of Peter Fagan, Bucks president. I forget what radio station he was on. We don't own this. But he basically said Giannis is out.
He recovers. He's, I'll tell you firsthand, he is superhuman. I think he'll be back before anybody thinks he's back. He definitely will not be back for Sunday. So we'll be playing short Giannis for game one, which is a big game to get out there and win when you're on your home court for game one. But, we expect Giannis to be back, like, in the playoffs. Not really sure when, but I would say sooner versus later. He is a driven force of nature that continues to kind of rehab.
So even before all of this, my feeling was this team is going to find a way to at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I really felt that way. Probably, April 19th as we're recording this. Probably even mid to late March, I still felt like this team will find a way to get through the first and second rounds. I don't know how – this is March, John, talking. I don't know how confident I am that they can give Boston a series. I'm hopeful they can. But I thought at least the roads would end in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's tough to even envision that now, isn't it? If you're a Bucks fan, if you're a diehard Bucks fan listening, please give me some hope. If you're out there, somebody give me some hope. It's just tough to fathom with the energy level of this team, and now you're missing your best player. How are they going to get through this series? I hope they can, but how are they going to do it? And then how are they going to get through a second series? The idea of this team right now, with the lack of momentum they had going into the playoffs and how Dame's been a letdown and Giannis is hurt and the team is old and slow, it's just hard to envision them winning 2 straight best-of-7 series just to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and Giannis comes back at some point in the first round or he's not back until the second round and they still make it that far, that's almost a win to me at this point with the way things have gone. It's very difficult to look into the crystal ball right now and see this team winning a playoff series, let alone 2 playoff series, just to get to a point where maybe you would have a chance to match up with Boston and deal Boston the upset. Like I said, they are the underdogs based on the audio we just played you. Although Pat Beverly was a little more bullish on his podcast. He was talking like they're going to be ready. We're going to turn the volume up here. This is the Pat Bev podcast where his body language and the way he answered this question seemed to indicate Giannis would be set for Sunday.
The Bucks, 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, about to embark on a playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. The question that's on everybody's mind is what is going on with Giannis Antetokounmpo?
We're going to be ready.
Whole squad?
And he shakes his head, yes. But every other piece, outside of that Pat Bev clip, every other person that's talked about this said that Giannis is not going to be set for game one. and it seems likely is not going to be ready for game two, and we'll see where they go from there. This reminds me a little bit of the Miami series from last year where he basically broke his back in game one in the first 2 minutes of game one, and then they won game two, and that's the only game they won. That was actually 1 year ago today. But it felt like they were going to hold out Giannis until they really had their backs against the wall. You know what I mean? That's if I go back to my headspace against Miami in that series, I think my thinking going into game three was we were hopeful he'd be ready for game three in Miami, but since the series was tied at one and it wasn't win or go home, they'd try to see if they could steal one in game three, and then maybe that buys you time where you're up 2-1 and you don't have to play him in game four, and then if you're tied 2 coming back, maybe game five. You know what I mean? I just feels like it's a very similar situation where he's not going to be 100% whenever he comes back unless they sweep the Pacers in the first round or win the first round in convincing fashion in five, and the way they're playing leads you to believe, okay, we're going to be fine without him. My feeling is they're going to hold him out as long as they can. So if they're 0-2 going back to Indiana, which feels like it's possible, maybe they force him out there or he forces himself out there for game three. If they're able to split, maybe you buy yourself game three because you feel like down 2-1. If you lose game three, down 2-1, there's still some room there where you could come back for game four. That's what I feel like the approach is going to be. So he's not going to play Sunday. All you're hoping for now is this switch that we talked about. And what you really need, what you're really hoping for is Dame. Dame's got to be Dame. We haven't seen Dame this year. I don't want to get into the conversation of why this has been so difficult because that gets back to the pre-grieving conversation. We haven't played a minute of the playoffs yet. Let's not rehash all of the disappointments of year one with Dame. It's in there somewhere, right? I mean, we saw little flashes of it in games here and there. I think he had a 30-point game where he shot 9 of 10. I don't remember where it was. In Memphis maybe earlier in the year, or it was on the road. He looked good in that game against Sacramento. We had the Dame Time walk-off winner from the logo. I mean, we saw little hints of it, maybe 10 to 15% of the year. He's got to be Portland Dame. And Portland Dame, with a cast of misfits around him in Portland, has won playoff games and one playoff series that he was not expected to win. We need that. We need Portland Dame in this series. And if he can be the guy that we thought we were getting, a guy that can give you 25 plus 30 points a game and shoot 45% from the field and 40-ish percent from beyond the arc, or at least 38 or 39% from beyond the arc. He had career lows shooting across the board. If he can get back to being that guy, then this team, I think, does have a chance, because then he gives you a position where you think you're going to win a couple games and you can maybe get Giannis back. And then when Giannis comes back, you've got this force in the middle that Indiana can't deal with. But they need Portland Dame. They need a lot of things. They need Brook to be good defensively and to move. They need Chris Middleton to be somewhat healthy. There are no back-to-backs in the playoffs, so he shouldn't miss a game unless something happens. You need him to be as close to 2021 playoff Middleton as you can get. But this really comes down to Dame. This team is old. You've got old guys coming off the bench. Connaughton's old. Jay Crowder's old. Pat Bev, as much as we love him, he'll probably be in the starting five, but he's getting up there. He's mid-30s. You need what you thought was going to be your second superstar. You need him to hit the hot tub time machine here and be 2021, 2018, 2017 Dame. You need him to be the guy who's the future Hall of Famer, the guy who, right next to Steph Curry, is probably one of the best shooting point guards in the history of the NBA. That's the Dame you need. If we see the Dame that we saw for 85% of the year, that's got down body language, that doesn't really look like he wants to be there, although that could just be Dame. I mean, I don't know. This is our first year with Dame. That could be Dame. You've got to keep in mind, and we talked about this in a podcast middle of the season, I don't know how many Portland Trailblazers games I really even watched outside of maybe playoff games when Dame was there. We knew the numbers he was putting up, you'd see highlights, but of course highlights only show you the good things. This could be Dame's disposition all the time. But it just seems like he's not really wanted to be here. He's not into it. There doesn't seem to be a lot of chemistry within the team as far as we can tell visually. If that's the Dame we get starting on Sunday, the Dame we've seen 80, 85% of the year, and he scores 23 points on 8 of 23 shooting, and he's 2 of 9 from beyond the arc, they're going to be down 0-2, and then they're going to have to make a decision on whether or not they want to put Giannis in harm's way if he's not fully healthy and put him out there with a calf injury that could become an Achilles injury, if they want to risk that for game three if you're down 0-2. I don't know. I don't have a ton of optimism. Maybe I'll be wrong. I will be very excited if I am wrong and most Bucks fans are wrong when we record episode 161 on Monday, which we're hoping is going to be a victory Monday. As a side note, if you are somebody like me who misses the old Bradley Center ticket prices where you could go to a Bradley Center playoff game for like $20 on StubHub, I've got good news for you. I've got really good news for those of you out there that miss those days like I do. although we love the era we're living in now where you're winning and you're always in the playoffs and you're hopefully a title contender, I do miss those teams that would randomly make the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed and you get a ticket at the Bradley Center for a playoff game for like $15, for $18, for $22. You can get tickets right now on StubHub for $34, I think, or $35 to go to this playoff game on Sunday. And if they lose that game, the Tuesday game is going to be even less. If they're down 0-1 and it doesn't look any better than it's looked in recent weeks, my guess would be you could go to Tuesday's game for probably about a sawbuck, probably about $15 on Tuesday if they're down 0-1. That's the schedule, 6 o'clock Sunday, 7:30 Tuesday, and then 1 week from today, they play Game 3 in Indiana on Friday, next Friday. It is a 4:30 local tip time. I've never heard of that. 4:30 Central Time tip time on Friday. I don't dislike it. I like that idea. I like the idea of having an early tip time since my work schedule fits beautifully around it. I'll wake up from a nap. I'll go for my little run, do my little run there, and then the game will be on at 4:30. And it'll be over by the time we get to Friday Fish Fry. But that's when Game 3 is. It'll be a 4:30 tip time next Friday, I guess late afternoon, you would say. There is a big gap there. So if Giannis did want to come back for Game 3 or felt he could come back or they needed him to come back for Game 3, you do get a big break. He's not going to play Sunday. He's probably not playing Tuesday, but then you have all the way until Friday next week. Let's talk about the Brewers real quick. Kind of a quiet week, not a great week. They lose the series to San Diego, and Christian Yelich goes on the injured list. That was to be expected. Murph on Sunday, this past Sunday, said they were going to hopefully make a decision on Monday, and then they came back on Monday and asked him, and Murph said, it's not a whole lot better. We'll give him till Tuesday. And right away in that sentence, you knew, he's probably headed to the IL. They said he was feeling a little better with that back on Tuesday, but not good enough, so throw him on the 10-day IL, open up a roster spot. It's just a damn shame because the guy is raking. As we went over, that was as close to, in that two-week stretch, 2018-2019 Yelly that we've seen. And now with that back, you know, when he comes back, is he going to be swinging free? Is he going to be tight? Is he going to be worried about tweaking something? Is that going to impact his timing and not be where it was before he went on the IL? Is he going to need a rehab assignment for a game or two in AAA? It's a shame to have him start as hot as he was, to be one of the best players in baseball through 10 days, 11 days, 12 days, whatever it was. And now he's on the shelf probably for at least a week, and then we'll see how he looks when he gets back out there. Is he going to be able to hit the ground running and look like that guy right away again? I don't know. Brewers had the Padres in town on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Dropped Monday's matchup. It was just a tough inning for Joe Ross. I still like what Joe Ross has shown us. He gives up a ton of runs in the fifth inning, but it was one of the worst baseball luck innings I think I've ever seen. You had an infield single. You had a balk. You had just a bunch of things that didn't go right for Joe Ross losing to Joe Musgrove for the Padres. But I still like what we saw. The fastball was still riding mid to upper 90s. His slider still had good bite. And through two innings on Monday, we felt great. Ross was six up, six down. Jackson Churio hit a two-run bomb. Brewers were up 3-0, but then they had the meltdown in the fifth inning. They get down 6-3 and lose 7-3. And then Tuesday's game was similar for Wade Miley in the first inning to what it was for Joe Ross in the fifth inning, where got some bad defense from a team that needs to be locked down defensively and should be locked down defensively. Bad defense, infield single, a Texas leaguer. It's just one of those innings. And the Brewers got down 4-0. They had a chance down 6-2 with Gary Sanchez up. Bases loaded, two outs in the eighth inning, but Sanchez struck out. That really ended the threat, and they lost Tuesday 6-3. However, they get a bullpen game win on Wednesday against an extremely talented offense in San Diego. You were not feeling great going into Wednesday, knowing it was a bullpen game and knowing the stars on that offense. But how about the Brewer bullpen? Bryce Wilson, who was excellent last year, who so far this year has been kind of hit or miss, he went out there and gave you 3 2/3. When you go bullpen game, if you're a manager, you're hoping you can get an inning out of the opener, maybe two innings out of the opener. And Murphy was able to get him to within an out of getting through four innings. That's how efficient and locked in Bryce Wilson was. That's like when you go to the bar in college and you've got $10 in your pocket. And you're thinking, how can I stretch this? And you find out, oh, it's BOGO night. All right, so I could buy one, get one $2 point specials, and then you win the shake of the day, so you get another free beer, and you're able to stretch your $10 as far as possibly can be. That's what Pat Murphy was able to do with this bullpen game on Wednesday with Bryce Wilson giving him 3 2/3 scoreless. Still scoreless in the eighth inning, Abner Uribe made a tremendous play with two outs in the eighth inning and the Padres having a runner on second base, little dribbler down the third baseline. Uribe made a sliding stab on it and then threw legitimately, and they timed it, 81 miles an hour he threw to first base. I think it was Bowers at first base on Wednesday. I think I'd have need a change of underwear if somebody's throwing me 81 miles an hour to first base. But he made the play and then had a great celebration. Then in the bottom half of that inning, speed kills, man. Bryce Terang got on. He was able to steal his ninth bag that leads Major League Baseball, got himself into scoring position. Blake Perkins just was able to shoot one through the gap on the left side of the infield. Terang comes around to score. Piamps gets the save. And you get a 1-0 bullpen game win against a very good offense on Wednesday. Feel good about that. With the win, they are 11-6. Right now, a half-game lead on Chicago for the top spot in the NL Central. It's a jumbled mess. Brewers are 11-6. Cubs are 11-7. I think the Pirates are 11-7. And now you hit the road. And as we went over when they hit the road on Monday last week, when they had four in Cincinnati, these division games just mean a lot more in the new scheduling era that we live in, where you do not play these teams. You don't play your division rivals like you used to 17, 18 times a year. You're playing them more 10 or 11 times a year, which puts a big emphasis on these games. The hated Cardinals tonight. I think I've rotated in my lifetime hating the Cardinals or the Cubs more. That's kind of been a rotating chair. With Council going to Chicago, I feel like that hate fire is always going to be bigger now because it was already there anyway. But now the whole Council subplot, I think I'm probably always going to hate them more. But when I think back to my lifetime and some of the good Brewers teams that saw their season come to an end at the hand of Cardinals teams, it's still pretty high up there. They are in St. Louis tonight. 7:15 first pitch, Freddie Peralta on the hill. They're going to give DL Hall another start on Saturday. Hopefully the fastball velocity looks a lot better. 1:15 on Saturday, 1:15 on Sunday with Colin Ray going. And then they right away go to Pittsburgh. So seven-game road trip, three in St. Louis, four in Pittsburgh. Critical games this time of year to get out to a good start in division. The Brewers have only had, it was only the Red Series, right? Yeah, the Brewers have only had one series against the Central. They're 2-1 against the Reds. But you need to win as many of these in-division games as possible. Again, three in St. Louis starting tonight, then right away Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Pittsburgh. And then a loaded Yankee team will be at AmFam Field. I was thinking of Costanza, the New York Yankees. They'll be at AmFam Field Friday, Saturday, Sunday next weekend. But the good start continues for the Brewers. Hopefully we can see them look a little more like they looked against Baltimore last weekend, this weekend against St. Louis. And then we'll wrap up today. We are a week away from the draft. We'll go more over the draft stuff on Monday. I still feel like cornerback or tackle, probably the direction that they're going to go with the first round pick on Thursday. You can never have enough tackles. And even though I think you start the season with Zach Tom as your right tackle, even though you could use him anywhere, and you probably start the year with Rashid Walker at left tackle because of what he showed you at the end of the year last year, you can never have enough guys. You just can't. I think it's going to go cornerback, tackle. I think secondary, then tackle, first and second round. But they do get some depth on their offensive line. Packers signed Andre Dillard on Thursday or Wednesday. Former first round pick. He was the 22nd overall pick to the Eagles in 2019. Played 3 years there. He played last year in Tennessee. We're not going to sugarcoat this. He was one of the lowest graded offensive tackles in the NFL last year. Some would call him, Titans fans last year would have called him, a liability. You don't love to hear that stuff when your team signs a new player. However, on a team that does need some tackle depth, I don't think it's a terrible move. He's still very young, so you don't know that his career is done yet. He's 24, 25 years old. In my mind, this replaces the Nijman signing in Carolina. You lose your backup left tackle, and I guess technically your backup right tackle too, when Yosh left the team and went to Carolina for a bigger deal. I think this guy probably fits that mold. He's a guy that's going to fight for a spot. He's going to fight for playing time, but he's more a depth piece than anything, which you like to have. He's a guy who's got NFL experience. Not great. Hasn't played that well in that experience, but you've got a guy who's played at the NFL level, who's a former first-round pick. I think he fits that Nijman spot nicely as we get set for the draft next week, Thursday. We'll be talking more about that on Monday. I did see a mock draft. I'll be honest, I don't know a ton of the first-round targets this team would have. I'll look at it between now and Monday's podcast. Maybe, probably not. I did see a mock draft, though. There's a cornerback out there whose name is Kool-Aid. I think this first name, it's got to be a nickname, right? Kool-Aid McKinster? Is that his name? We're drafting Kool-Aid? He's got to be wearing red, right, on Thursday? If we're taking Kool-Aid in the first round, I want him to bash through a wall wearing red when he goes and gets his hat from Roger Goodell. Kool-Aid McKinster. All right, I'm in. I'm drinking it. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I had no idea that there was a guy out there named that, but I saw him on a mock draft going to Green Bay earlier this week. But we'll talk more about the draft on Monday. We'll recap the Brewer weekend, And we'll be coming back after game one, Bucks-Pacers, and I think we're going to have a pretty good idea Monday of what this team has a chance to do in this series based on what we see Sunday night, hoping for a switch. We'll get back after it Monday. Have a happy, safe weekend. We'll chat with you then.